Hello and welcome to PokeSports Competitive Pokemon Podcast. I'm Mike, and you know what? I actually played with Pokemon on the field this week.
Wow. Mm. I'm Kevin. I play with one Farfetch'd on the field.
Kevin just... Sometimes this podcast is just for us.
Farfetch'd.
And sometimes this podcast is for everyone else.
That's okay. Mike will explain
this. This is one of those situations where the podcast is just for us. No.
So we have this mod.
I can take it back even further. I was trying to figure out how far back to take it.
All the way.
So we have a new website, right? And for those of you who are listening to this on podcast providers, you have more than likely, hopefully I'm not over-promising and under-delivering like I have in other weeks, but if you're listening to this on Wednesday, you may be able to go over to pokesports.org and see a brand new site with a lot of things that you may be familiar with already. If you know our site already at pokesports.org, you'll know that we have a weakness calculator and a damage calculator, both of which are maintained by the most amazing person, Mod Pierre, who created both of those as the most up-to-date, I think, on the internet, Pokemon calculator, weakness calculator, said it again, and damage calculator. Moving over to the new site, that was the biggest headache for all of us because that's the thing that we had to rebuild. We had to rebuild that entire thing from scratch. Couldn't just port it over. There were a lot of like elements that you can port over, like code and stuff, but a lot of it needed to be tweaked and set to the new format that the new website's going to be in. So one of those things is the list of Pokemon right now. Pokemon that have apostrophes. Apostrophes just, and this is a problem just with programming in general. Sometimes they just don't show up as apostrophes. So instead of showing something like Farfetch'd, it showed Farfetch'd or Farfetch'd TMD Galar.
A bit of a tough
situation to navigate, but Pierre is an amazing programmer, so I have the utmost faith that you won't see this issue.
I don't even blame him for not being able to find it, because who the heck is gonna plug in Farfetch'd on a weakness calculator?
I don't know, so how you found it so quickly.
I just scrolled and I was like, TMs aren't supposed to be here. Farfetch'd. And then there's Farfetch'd and Farfetch'd Galar right next to each other. It's kind of...
Yeah, it kind of sticks out.
Okay.
Oh, I see what happened. Yeah. He said Farfetch'd. So that said, if you are on the new website, if you're watching this live right now, you won't be seeing it. But if you are listening to this anytime after, say Tuesday or Wednesday when this comes out on podcast providers, go on to the website, pokesports.org, go and navigate to the damage calculator, the weakness calculator, and just play around with it. If you find any kind of issues at all with anything that you're doing, make sure you, I'll make a thread for that in Discord. Make sure you post about that. Because we want to make it the like most comprehensive, the most like correct and up to date calculator that Pokemon has right now. We want to have that for you. But yeah, wow, that's a lot about the website. But also, I've just been staring at the website for like 5 days straight. So that's all I have been thinking about for the past little while. Kevin, what have you been thinking about for the past little while?
Homes.
Oh.
Houses, yeah. I got another closing coming up. Been thinking about that. Got to make sure I got all the right documents. This isn't about Pokemon, by the way.
It can be. We can make it about Pokemon.
Okay, if Pikachu was going to buy a house, what kind of house would Pikachu buy? Something next to a power plant.
Nah, Pikachu wouldn't buy a house. It doesn't like being confined. That was the whole reason. Sits on Ash's shoulder.
So if Shelgon is going to buy a house, which is a Pokemon that's pretty much always confined, what house would it buy? Very small one. A shed.
A shed. Yes. Like a tiny home. A tiny home. No, that sounds like more of a shuckle. A Shuckle house.
That's fair. Shuckle's house is just going to be a boulder.
You know who would have the best house, though? Duraludon.
Mr. Mime.
Oh, no, probably Duraludon. Like, yeah, probably yeah. Mr. Mime, though.
Mr. Mime would have a circus tent. Duraludon would have a big tower skyscraper.
Mr. Mime would surprise you, yeah. Mr. Mime invested in crypto very early and got out with that Bitcoin money.
What's the most like snobby Pokemon?
The most snobby Pokemon.
That's going to have the biggest. Oh, easy. Alolan Meowth is going to have the biggest house.
Ah, okay. Okay. Alolan Meowth hit that payday and now has that nice house.
Can we talk about how Meowth has so many forms for absolutely no reason?
Meowth has the most forms in Pokemon, I think.
I'm pretty sure. Yeah, it has the G-Max. It has Alolan. It has Galarian. It has regular.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That's already too much.
The biggest slap in the face would be if we got a Hisuian Meowth.
Oh, I would just give up.
I kind of want it, though. I kind of also want it, you know?
You want it for the meme. I don't want it, though. What would it be? Yeah. Ice? It looks like they're making all these Suin Pokemon like look icy.
I'm not down for this. I would go for an icy Meowth. Do we have any icy cats yet?
Depends on what you consider Ninetales. Is that a fox? Yeah, it's a fox. It's a dog. Hmm. We're
very far into this podcast, by the way, and we haven't talked a single piece of competitive Pokemon.
Hey, man. Sometimes you just gotta ask the real question. Ice cats. Glaceon. Absol. Weavile.
Wow, we have a lot of ice cats.
For some reason, Glalie is here, but I disagree with that one. No, also, what? Absol is not an ice type. I don't know why I said Absol. Uh-huh. Looks kind of icy, though.
Interesting.
That's it. That's all I got. Mostly Glaceon.
Sparkle 285 in the chat right now says, I think Alchemy has 60 plus forms. Now, I see what you're saying. Yes, you're right. If we're talking forms and whatever, like that is true, but those are just different kind of colors. It's different. That's like unknown, right? Like you have 20 something unknowns, but
we still don't know what they're going to do with unknown, by the way.
I have zero idea what they're going to do with unknown. Because
they deleted the only move that it gets. So.
All right, I'm going to pivot into the piece of competitive talk that we want to do. Because that has a lot to do with it. We're talking a little bit about Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. Here's the thing. We're waiting with like heavy anticipation for Brilliant Diamond Shining Pearl. In part because there's some content that we want to do around it. There's like a potential video series idea that we have behind it. But also because of the fact that they're keeping Sword and Shield alive through the life cycle of BDSP, which means almost certainly that they're going to be bringing in new Pokemon, the other otherwise dexited Pokemon, you know? Mm-hmm. That said, I have no idea what they do with unknown, but I hope they bring it in because I want to put 20. Instead. How many different kinds of unknown are there? 20, 26,
28,
There's 28. Because the question mark and exclamation.
Yeah.
Right. I would love to see some DLC around the unknown. And you just keep giving me some unknowns while giving me the other like exited Pokemon. So, you know, you got Breloom and your Gliscor and other Pokemon that I hate. I think an unknown could make the VGC series pretty fun.
Yes.
I don't.
You can spell defeat before actually losing. That's
okay. Yes. D E F E A T. Oh my God. But then you could only bring in feet.
That's fine.
Yeah, it's fine. But the main reason that that's an issue is that hidden power is not a thing anymore. So like, what would they even do?
They're probably going to give them all confusion because they're just as confused as we are.
Yeah, that's fair. I would agree with that. Yeah. I want every unknown to be able to learn Expanding Force. No, just that's it.
illegal. They all learn protect and struggle. Get used to it, guys.
Unknown, the defensive Pokemon.
We got some news today? Not really. It's kind of a dead week, huh?
It's a bit of a dead week. I mean, so here's the thing. Every month, as Kevin has sent me, LibertyNote.com puts out the top 30 Pokemon of Sword and Shield that month, that past month. Top 30 is in top 30 teams in VGC. It's very different from what Babiri has. So if you go to Babiri.net, it'll show you like the rolling daily top 100 teams in VGC. But it's super different in Liberty Notes, because that's from directly from the cartridge, showing you the top 30 teams. So it's fun to kind of go through these sometimes, because you'll see Pokemon that like really, really made it to the top. Because if you made it to the top in cartridge, like that actually kind of that means a lot more, in my opinion, than it does to make it to the top of Showdown.
It's also like Showdown, like you can spam games. Ended that month on top. So it's like a lot bigger of a deal.
Yeah. And I mean, Showdown, it's a lot easier to spam games. Like you can play games like all day long and you'll play like 1,000. Whereas if you play like 1,000 games in Sword and Shield, that's like a week.
I feel like most people won't even commit that hard.
No, absolutely not. Have you seen some of the game totals of people who hit like number one by the end of the month?
No, actually. I haven't seen the actual amount of games they have played.
I'd be curious to see that, yeah. Because like you've got your Joe UX9s who will stream at the beginning of the month and get to top one, just for the fact of getting to top one because nobody else is there yet. Mm-hmm. But by the end of the month, whoever's on top has played a bunch of games. Like this person who made it to the top this month, Nagisa, has a rating of 2,077, which is crazy high.
Yeah.
That's the MMI. Yeah.
That's who got first place. And they also got third place on a separate account. So,
that's hilarious.
GG Nagisa. But what's super interesting from looking at like the top three teams is that there's two common like threads here. Mm. Well, actually they're the exact same team three times is a better way of saying that. They're running Zacian, Suicune, Rillaboom, Incineroar, Landorus Incarnate, and Latias.
Yeah.
No other person in this top 30 is running Latias except for the top three teams. What?
Who is, right? Like, do Mochiha and Nagisa know each other? That's what I need to know. Nagisa or were they just is like, top you know one what? And three. Mochiha is number two. Yeah.
And they were just like, you know what? Latias is pretty good. 0.61% usage on Pikalytics right now for Latias. So clearly they're the only two people that know what's up. I'm looking at what Latias tends to run. It tends to go Citrus Berry with about 220 speed, Timid.
Mm-hmm.
Tailwind, Ice Beam, Icy Wind, Mystical Fire, Heal Pulse, Ally Switch, Recover, etc. So I get it. It's a support mon. It does a lot of supporty things. It slows them down. It speeds you up. It lowers their special attack. I get it. Mm-hmm. But for it to be on the top three teams three separate times, it's kind of wild.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I'm just scrolling through here and I'm seeing, ooh, wow. Huh.
You guys are wondering what restricteds are good. You pretty much have Zacian, Eternatus, Calyrex, Shadow, and Kyogre. It's like the recurring theme here on these top 30 teams. It's like one of those four.
It looks like the person who got fifth out of 30 right now only played 119 games.
Total?
Yeah.
What was their win-loss? Do you know?
90 wins, 29 losses.
Yikes.
Yeah.
They won a lot more than they lost. That's the thing.
Campfly SS just didn't miss.
I wanna just run this top team for a whole month.
Yep.
And nothing else. Just to see how well I could do.
Just see what happens, right?
Yeah. Cause like usually I just get angry and change teams or I'm trying to do a video and I can't just commit to rank one over mm-hmm. and over because no, that's not content. I need to have like a separate cartridge to where I could just like PlayStation, Landorus, Incineroar, Rillaboom, Suicune, Latias, and see how well I could do.
Well, it's tough because like you're trying to show off your like total games played for the month, right?
Well, I'm just trying to see how high I can get using the most meta team possible.
I know, but I'm saying like, can't you just do that? Can't you just have like a secondary team that you'll use when you're not recording?
Yeah, but when I record, I'll ruin it.
That is true. Yes. Yeah.
When people are like, Kevin, I want to see you use regular Calyrex without any horse. I'm just like, well,
I mean, this takes like the basic amount of addition and subtraction, though. You're just like, okay, how many did I win on camera? How many did I lose on camera? Subtract that from the total. You got it. Easy peasy.
Problem is, this is journalism. There's too much camera.
There's so much camera. Cool. Yeah. So, I mean, the Latias is super interesting. I'm looking at some of the other ones further down the list. You're seeing a little bit of Scizor, a little bit of Eternatus. Araquanid again. I can never wrap my head around when I see Araquanids in top places right now.
It's very good Trick Room sweeper, if that makes any sense. It's like you really only care about flying moves with Araquanid because you don't really care about fire, you don't care about water, you don't care about electric too much because you have very high special defense. It's pretty much only physical flying moves, which right now there aren't a lot. So it just kind of benefits from not having weaknesses.
Right. That's true. Okay. I guess I can kind of get that.
What I don't get is these teams, there's like one team really down, like 28th place is running a Trevenant.
Trevenant.
Respect.
Trevenant is one of those Pokemon that I thought was not in this game.
A Pokemon that I know is in the game, but no one's using right now is Kartana.
That's hilarious. Like Kartana is amazing.
Yeah, I love Kartana. We have two teams here in the top 30 with a Mamoswine, so respect to them.
Uh huh.
I'm currently using Mamoswine right now in the recording, and Mamoswine's really fun. Hmm. But yeah, man.
You know, I got to tell you, I've been looking at Babiri.net as well, because that's just what I do now. That's how I interact with VGC, I guess. I just look at stats at this point. I haven't been playing VGC very much. I need to get back into it, but I'm still like, I'm very curious about the data, like how that changes every month. And one Pokemon that I've seen is currently sitting at number 10 on Babiri.net for the day at a rating of 1805. This is the team. Yveltal, Amoongus, Stakataka, Mamoswine, Jellicent, and Volcarona. And I looked at this and I said, I don't get it. I don't see why. And Kevin sends me a Pokemon Showdown replay and it's six turns long. Kevin, you wanna tell the people a little bit about this replay you sent me?
So the replay was very straightforward. It's pretty much Jellicent carrying. I think Jellicent's kind of in that sleeper pick where like you set up Trick Room kind of reliably and you still do a lot of damage with Water Spout and you pretty much underspeed most things in Trick Room anyway. What ended up happening in the replay was there was a Jellicent Volcarona lead versus a Whimsicott and an Entei. So all the Jellicent had to do was set up Trick Room turn one. And then the Volcarona protects because, you know, incoming Stone Edge from the Entei. And then once Trick Room gets set up, once the Whimsicott tries to taunt the Mental Herb Jellicent, it's just Water Spout spammings from then on, right? There's nothing else that can happen. And what's great about Jellicent is that Jellicent can actually sit there against Kyogre and not care because you have Water Absorb. I actually saw some even more interesting sets with Politoed and Jellicent on the same team, and the Politoed would surf with Iron Ball to heal up the Jellicent to get Jellicent to full HP every time you Water Spouted. So you would do as much damage as you wanted to Jellicent, but you were still getting full damage Water Spouts in the rain while it was happening. This was a completely other team that I ended up going against. That made me very sad. But yeah, Jellicent can actually sweep, and you know, Water Spout is a great move. Pokemon that have Water Spout are inevitably better than Pokemon that don't have it. So if you're able to just put yourself in a situation where you have Trick Room up, you can just kind of spam Water Spout, then you're in a great situation. And then you have things like Strength Sap, which is a very rare move. Not a lot of Pokemon get Strength Sap, Strength Sap either.
It's very interesting to see Jellicent used offensively in VGC. In singles, Jellicent is and has pretty much always only been used for Taunt, Will-O-Wisp, Recover, and coverage moves. So either Hex or Scald. It definitely was not used for its Water Spout or for its anything else.
That's because Trick Room isn't a thing in singles, right? Trick Room's like non-existent in singles.
No, exactly. You can, but you have to have like a really, really good, very viable strategy for bringing in Trick Room in singles. It's certainly not seen as often as, say, Protect without Toxic. The only time that Protect is basically seen is when you have a Pokemon with Toxic as well.
Here's my issue with Trick Room in singles. You just switch for 5 turns and then it's gone. That's all you got to do.
You're not wrong.
I'm like super excited to play singles with you, Mike. This like is taking us completely off topic, but it's bringing us back to BDSP where me and Mike kind of have an idea brewing. I don't know if we want to talk about it. I guess I don't mind.
I didn't want to blow up your spot because you've been the one who did a lot of notes on it. So I didn't want to talk about it, but you can.
So BDSP is coming around the corner. It's not going to be a competitive game. Me and Mike are trying to make it competitive by facing each other in singles battles. Catch is we're going to Nuzlocke it because we're trying to make an easy baby game a little bit harder. If you guys don't know what Nuzlocking is, you know, you have the average, every new route is a new encounter. You have to catch the first Pokemon you encounter. You have to nickname them. You have to, whenever Pokemon gets knocked out, it's dead. You can't use it again.
I'm so curious if there are people out there who are like very into competitive, but have no idea what Nuzlocks are. That would be mind blasting to me.
I feel like a lot of people, you know, jumped on the wagon when Sword and Shield came out, and Sword and Shield wasn't a very Nuzlocked game because it's kind of too easy to Nuzlocke.
You're not wrong.
Yeah, Sword and Shield's a baby game. No offense to people that like it, but in general, no offense to
Game Freak.
I mean, they made it very easy.
They did. It was a very easy game.
So, like, it's kind of, how do you Nuzlocke an easy game? So we're hoping that
wasn't there actually a game with a hard mode?
Not an official game.
Not an official game? No.
It was Insurgents. You got the
right.
You got the option to make it harder.
Interesting. Okay, sorry, continue.
So what we're going to be doing is going to be Nuzlocking our way through it, kind of going at the same pace. And at the end of every, I guess, episode, what we're going to end up doing is battling each other in the Union Room with whatever team we have at the time in the 6v6 singles. I mean, if we have 6 Pokemon, I'm assuming we'll have 6 Pokemon. I don't know if we can bump it up to 50. I would like to just so it can be easy, but I guess I'll see how that works. If not, then screw it. We just go in with our level 16s and try our best there. And winner at the end of every episode gets a point. Person with the least amount of points has to do a punishment at the end of the Nuzlocke. We don't know what the punishment is yet.
We're very into
we love punishments
lately. Yeah. We love punishing. I mean, up until now, there's been the whole bean thing, and I don't know if we've actually officially mentioned this, but at 10,000 subscribers, we are going to do the Pocky Chip One Chip Challenge. Together, we are going to, what is this? Play, what were we going to do? Team build?
I don't remember anymore.
Oh, no, I don't even remember.
People want us to commentate a battle. People wanted us, I don't know, to just speak. I don't know.
Something involving speaking. It'll either be team building or commentating or battling each other. And the person who, you know, needs to tap out first is the true loser, depending on, like, regardless of who actually wins the battle, if that's what we do. So that's 10,000 subscribers.
We're only about 1,000 off too. So suffer's coming soon.
It's coming. Yeah. It might be a very spicy winter. Like, I think that's it. Just gonna be a very spicy winter.
I was making notes for the BDSP Nuzlocke. And I was like looking through the actual Pokemon that we can get in the game.
Okay.
Assuming it's the same as Platinum, we're going to be very limited very early on. Like, the first route, all you can get is, like, Starly and Bidoof. And then Bidoof stays for, like, the next 12 routes. So I'm like, okay, we have to have a dupes clause for this. There's no way we can just go in with 10 Bidoofs.
You mean a doofs clause?
Dupes clause pretty much means that...
No, it's a doofs clause now.
Oh, now it's a doofs clause, yeah.
Yeah.
Do you know what dupes clause is? You do.
You can't have duplicate Pokemon,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, simple.
Yeah. Okay, good. Phew. No, that's fine. I'm very familiar with Nuzlocke. I would love to do that. That sounds like a lot of fun. Funny enough, actually, the Rev Heads, Creative Cloud says, I have 3 apps updating available. No, don't want to. Thank you.
Not right now, please.
Not right now. Stop.
Far-fetched.
Stop it. Oh my gosh. Wow. It did it again. I apologize. Anyway, what was I going to say? The Revhead says, we need a team builder episode because I suck at team building and I need your guys' help. That is actually slated and planned for next week. Reason being is because I want to be using the weakness calculator and potentially the damage calculator, and both of those will be living on our new website, which I want to use in, again, next week's episode. So you'll be able to see that very, very soon. Let's continue on, though. I wanted to make mention to something that Tristan said earlier in the episode today, right before we started. And we'll do this before our break. He says, how do I get motivated to play this game again? Right now, we're almost, is it 2 full years? 1 full year.
Oh, it's almost 1 full year?
Almost 2 full years. Right. Into Pokemon's life cycle. Oh, right, of course, with PokeSports. And by now, with the knowledge that it will continue to be the same game, a lot of people are burnt out. A lot of people are choosing to bail before they have to stay in for longer. Or a lot of people are thinking about the game, but like me, are just kind of, you know, sticking around the community, watching the teams being built and watching game like replays and whatnot, watching tournaments. How can one get motivated to play this game again?
That's a hard question because,
isn't it?
I can honestly probably most likely definitely say that if we didn't have a YouTube channel, I probably wouldn't be playing it myself, to be honest. I feel like that since I have a YouTube channel and I have that commitment to play it, I remind myself why I enjoy it. But had I not have gotten that commit, that like a initial startup to be like, hey, Kevin, maybe you should play some VGC again, I probably wouldn't have picked it up because it's a pain making teams. It's a pain trying to figure out the meta, especially when you have like months off at a time. Series 9 was like super burnout for me. It's like, it felt so bad playing the same thing again. So I can only imagine they're just like, hey, Series 11 is just going to be Series 8 again. Have fun, guys. We're bringing Dynamax back. I'm going to be a little bit sad. Like, it's going to be...
Remember Dynamax? Yeah.
I've said this to Mike, and it sucks because I know that's going to happen, but I can't imagine a metagame with Dynamax again. Mm-hmm. Like, I can't... Like, I'm thinking about it now. I'm like, how did I play in that? I don't want to play in that again. And they're going to bring it back. I mean, there's no way they don't bring back the whole gimmick that they introduced into the game.
I mean, it's rough, right? Like, they can't have respect for themselves if they don't bring it back. If they continue with like the next series, they're like, yeah, people didn't like Dynamax, so we're just not going to have it in this one either. It's like, no, you committed to make a game that has this gimmick in it, and you put it in your competitions. Mm-hmm. Yes, it's better without it, but they can't be like, yeah, okay, no, we'll scrap it. Don't worry about it. Because then they'll just lose all respect that they still have.
They're never going to be like, yeah, you know what? You guys were right. This thing kind of does suck. No, they're never going to say that. Which is why I know.
But on the other hand, I do see what you're saying, where like it feels like such a different game right now. It feels like a more strategic game without the Dynamax button in there. Now it feels like the Pokemon that we've kind of come to love and come to learn and come to understand without the instant power creep.
And you know what? I would love a meta with no restricteds and no Dynamax. Just to see what's on top then, right?
See what happens.
Get rid of the Zacians, get rid of the Calyrex Shadows. I want to see what's on top. I know it's going to be Urshifu, Rillaboom, Regieleki, but I don't care. I want to see what else is there, you know? Those are always going to be there. You're never going to remove those unless you do a top 10 ban list again.
Would love to see it.
I would like to see it too, but with how poorly received Series 6 was, I don't know if they're going to do it.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Yeah, no.
What happened during that time? I think something else happened during Series 6 that made it so poorly received. Like, probably a new game came out or something. It might have been Snap. I don't actually remember.
I don't remember either. That might have been around the time where Monster Hunter came out.
That sounds more likely, yeah.
That sounds right. I mean, we are just before Crown Tundra?
Yeah.
So people were kind of waiting for that one or something like that. I can't seem to remember the specific series, but regardless, back to the point in getting yourself back into something though, I found myself like that with VGC, and I found myself with that like that with Unite. Unite, I don't think is a dead game by any means. It doesn't look like it's showing any signs of slowing. In fact, it's showing signs of really picking up, which has really gotten me wanting to get in there and get practicing and get playing. But there were just so many other things that it's like, this isn't the new shiny hotness anymore. It's hard for me to jump in there and play it. And so my advice would just be to find a group of other people who want to play. Kevin is that person for me. When I'm like, okay, I want to get back into Unite, I message Kevin and I'm like, let's play some Unite. Or I feel like I will want to play Unite. And he's like, let's go do it. And to that effect, I ended up playing Unite this week. And I went up, I think, 2 ranks, which is awesome. I'm now like, I think 2 ranks away from Master. I mean, like Ultra Ball class 3, there are 5 classes in Ultra Ball, right?
Yes.
Yeah. So, closer to that. And then with VGC is actually a little bit easier, to be honest, because you can hop on things like Pokemon Showdown and you can just kind of pull a team that anybody has posted on, say, Twitter or PokePaste anywhere. And just, you know, give it a whirl. Go into random battles. Random battles are my favorite thing to do when I feel bored. I just hop in the random ladder and try and work my way up. So there's, I don't know, there's a lot that you can do to get back into it. And also realize that, you know, you're going to probably get back into it when the new game comes out. Because that's how it happens every single time. You always think that you're not going to be getting into it. And then Sword and Shield comes out and you make a podcast about it. And then you end up playing it for 2 years straight. So, yeah, you know, happens.
Kind of the situation we're in right now. I mean,
yeah, exactly.
I mean, the game is still good. Hey,
yeah,
shiny hunt. Do something. I don't know.
I think to also your point of this is the last thing I'll say about that. To your point of I run a YouTube channel, so I'll continue doing it. I think even though we have a YouTube channel and it's our commitment to doing it. We also have the choice and the prerogative to just kind of stop at any time.
Yeah,
exactly. For Series 9, that's a perfect example how like it totally burned us out and we were done. But I think it's the group of people on the Discord and the community that has really helped us like get back in and jump in and keep practicing and keep playing. And, for someone who's trying to get back into the game, you just got to immerse yourself in the community because people are still trying to learn. People are still trying to do better in the game. It's still an environment where like 1 month you've got a top 5 list of the best players out there. And then the next month, the top 5 are completely different. So people are still learning. People are still advancing. People are still taking those top spots when they haven't taken them before. So I think like that to me anyway, having that in the back of my head where like, yeah, you know, it's not completely dominated by the same group of people. That helps me keep trying to get better.
I do also think with the emergence of live competitions again, that'll help a lot too.
Yep.
Becoming relevant.
Oh yeah. Oh yeah. Get me back into a box with other people and I'm good to go. Yeah. I mean, it's tough too. Like with quarantine, like eventually you get tired of making sourdough bread, you know, like you gotta do something else. And then maybe later you'll come back to some sourdough bread because sourdough bread's delicious.
It's just a shame that like such a good game like Sword and Shield just didn't see competition at all.
Yeah.
It was like the perfect game for competition and just didn't see it. And probably won't.
And they made it like that.
Yeah.
And they made it like that. They took out spectator mode because they were like, it doesn't matter. We'll have all these live competitions anyway. And we'll just cast them up on the screen.
Nope. Not today. Not this year. Not next year. Guess what?
We developed some amazing LAN technology.
Guess what? Sorry.
No. Oops. Oh, man, it's so rough. And I mean, again, like we were complaining about spectator mode for the longest time. We still complain about spectator mode. It's a travesty that it's not in it. But like the whole thing that I think a lot of people forget is that this was planned to be an in-person esport. Like this was always going to be an in-person esport. Spectator mode wasn't there because it was already like underway, because regionals were happening, because nationals were happening. And those were great. Those were always great. But it's just it didn't translate to online as well as everyone else did, because, you know, they weren't built for that. They weren't planning for that. And they kind of got burned by that.
And now they're too busy with the next game to worry about it.
Exactly. Now they're a company and they've got other things to worry about. So.
They're like, well, missed opportunity. Oh, well, next one.
Oopsie. Yeah. All right. Well, with that, that's our vent session, I guess. With that, let's take a little break. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more about a bunch of other stuff. We'll see you then. And we're back. Welcome back to Poke Sports. Over the break, we were chatting with some people in the chat, and one, the Revheads, who's been very, very active, not only in this in this podcast, in this live thing that we do, has also been very active in Pokemon recently. And they competed in this weekend's Mythical Melee online competition. It was a singles competition, which I believe was only, yes, I don't believe I know this, was only mythical and legendary Pokemon. That has like just finished over a couple hours ago, so there are not home stats on it yet. But I will say, if there's anybody else out there who competed in the Mythical Melee competition, please do send us your stats, your record on Twitter at PokeSportsPod. Anyway, to talk about the Revheads' team here, they brought a Yveltal Palkia Zacian. Nope, sorry, that's not right. I need to go and track that down because I know that it's there. Revheads, please do send me that because I wanna talk about it. But they did mention that their Naganadel has surprised a lot and stolen some KOs. And
respect to Naganadel.
Yeah. And I want to say, like, what do you think of Naganadel?
I actually ran Naganadel in series 10 with like a sledge wave combination with Bisharp Assurance. I think Naganadel is very strong. It's not like the strongest Pokemon, but it's one of the fastest. And if you got good speed, you got a good Pokemon. It's really hard to make a fast Pokemon bad.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. I found the team. It's Zacian, Palkia, Naganadel, Urshifu, Water Shifu, Calyrex Shadow, and Zapdos Galarian variant.
Galarian.
So first off, I want to say good spread. I like that spread. I haven't popped that into a weakness calculator, but I feel like I should. But continue on with your experience with Naganadel.
Naganadel is just I like to run my Naganadels with Choice Scarf, just because in VGC you're in a meta where you have things like Regieleki, you have things like Zacian that you still want to outspeed. Choice Scarf might seem a little bit overkill, but it's almost necessary. It just kind of sucks that Regieleki exists and that Zacian and Calyrex exist, because a good speed tier used to be like 100, right? Yeah. And now, like, they just raised the bar that much further, and you're just seeing scarfs on Pokemon that you feel like shouldn't run scarfs. Like, you're seeing scarfs on Urshifu, you're seeing scarfs on... I've seen a scarf on Mianxiao. Heck, I've seen a scarf on Electroball Regieleki right now. Like, that's just dirty.
Yeah. That is dirty. So I plugged all six of those Pokemon into the PokeSports weakness calculator. Again, Naganadel, Zacian, Urshifu, Water, Rapid Strikes, Calyrex Shadow, Palkia, and Galarian Zapdos. And what that turns out to have is a total weakness of three Pokemon to Fairy type. So obviously there's a big need for something that can tackle the Fairy type in that team, which Naganadel helps like immensely. It helps cover all of the problems that the rest of those Pokemon have. Now the
probably
thing,
why you brought it so many times.
Exactly. Yes. Also because it's, yeah, anyway. And then there's the other one that has the other three weakness type there is psychic. Three of those Pokemon are weak to psychic in Naganadel, Urshifu, and Zapdos. However, Calyrex Shadow, the other major powerhouse on that team, covers that just as nicely. So it's like you've got Calyrex Shadow and Naganadel covering the biggest weaknesses on those teams, and they do it crazy well.
See, I would be so afraid to run Calyrex Shadow in a tournament like this.
Because
you know they're going to stick some dumb ghost and dark type moves on some dumb Pokemon, like randomly. Like, they're going to whip out the Pursuit. I don't even know what gets Pursuit. I'm going to say Pursuit Mewtwo. Or like some weird stuff that you just don't expect. They're just going to pick it out of the batch and be like, hey, you learn a dark move, I'm going to give you Crunch. You're going to use Bite. Congratulations, you're now using Bite-zation. Something dumb.
I am filled with so much regret that I did not participate in this tournament. It seems like it could have been so much fun. I'm looking at the rest of the weaknesses on this team. There's two Pokemon are weak to Flying, Electric, Ice, and Dragon. Two of those are just Naganadel. Naganadel weak to Ice and Dragon. But again, there are Pokemon that cover basically all of the typings in this. So that's amazing. Great team building. I don't know how you put that together, Revheads, but I give you a thumbs up for that one.
Usually when a team is good, the person made no effort in trying to build it. And they're just like, I like these things.
Sparkle 285 says, can Zamazenta be the next team, PokeSports?
Can Zamazenta be the next team?
Are you ever going to bring Zamazenta again? I think that's the question.
Maybe one day.
Maybe one day.
I don't
day.
Like promising things and then not
has it,
giving them.
Has
They're
it,
not, it's not anytime soon.
Has the they damage healed? Because, of I course, mean, this is the Pokemon that kicked you out of Players Cup 4.
Yeah. The only Players Cup I ever lost was with the Zamazenta on my team. Yeah. Zamazenta's at 0.2% usage. Behemoth Blade, Close Combat, Wide Guard, Crunch. You see, there's the dark moves. There's just the random dark moves. They also run Snarl, Coaching, Howl, Play Rough, etc. Looks like they mostly go bulky with a Kangaskhan on their team. 30% of Kangaskhan's... 30% of Zamazenta teams have a Kangaskhan on them.
What?
Don't know what that means.
What?
What does Kangaskhan do? Okay, it looks like Life Orb Fake Outs is what it does.
Why is that? Oh, Life Orb, what is it? Scrappy?
Yeah.
Life Orb Scrappy Fake Out?
Scrappy. Yikes. There's also Flame Orb as 27% usage. Does that have Fling or something? It does have Fling.
Must be.
That's why.
Yeah.
I mean, But just like, use anything else.
Interesting. See, and I know that with
To answer your question, I might.
Yeah, I mean, maybe.
But not anytime soon.
Not going to overpromise and underdeliver. The cool thing about Mythical Melee too is that like it gave people the chance to bring Pokemon that they normally wouldn't bring, even in like other restricted metas. Like Mewtwo, for example. There are people in the chat right now talking about bringing a Mewtwo into this, which normally I'd be like, you're crazy. Don't do that. But like for this one specifically, if you have six slots, you can probably fill one with a Mewtwo and get away with that. Mewtwo has great coverage. You can like make up for a couple weaknesses with just Mewtwo alone.
That's really fair. Mewtwo with like Choice Scarf is like super good with like Shadow Ball. You don't even have to worry about Calyrex.
Mm-hmm.
I could see a lot of reasons during Mewtwo. Unnerve is pretty cool too.
Mm-hmm.
Could be good.
Unnerve is great. I mean, really like Psystrike is a dumb, crazy good attack. Even if you don't want to go for the Choice Scarf, you could have gone for, say, like a Nasty Plot with a Life Orb. Go for an Ice Beam in there. Mewtwo can learn Ice Beam. And then your Focus Blasts, your Fire Blasts. Like, Mewtwo gets all of that. It's so, so good.
What's so shocking to me, I was just going through Pikalytics right now since we're just talking about this.
Yeah.
A Pokemon that I found with higher usage than Latias, Arcanine, Jellicent, Cinderace is Alolan Exeggutor.
What?
I couldn't tell you, but it gets Trick Room, Sleep Powder, Brutal Swing, Grass Knot. I'm guessing the Brutal Swing is here to proc a Calyrex Ice Weakness Policy.
Mm.
That's what I'm seeing right now. Kind of looks like the strat here. Look like it's just a Trick Room setup with Citrus Berry and Harvest, so you can keep resetting your Citrus Berry.
Yeah, I have
Sassy
seen that.
Nature, super defensive, only defensive. Interesting. I mean, you die to Ice Shard, but interesting.
I'd want to give that a shot. Here's what I'm going to do. Because next week is going to be heavy, heavy team building episode. Over the course of the week, I'm going to make a couple of polls on our YouTube channel, listing a couple of not often seen Pokemon. By the end of the week, we might have 2, 3, 4, something like that. And then why not on Sunday, when we start our next podcast, we make teams around them. So either have a team that includes it or a team that includes multiple. Just have like a list of the crowd's favorite underused Pokemon.
Okay.
Sound good?
Sounds good for me. Just don't make me do like Togepi.
There will be no. So that's the thing. I think like I need to
competent underused Pokemon.
Yeah, competent underused okay, Pokemon. Good. Like Pokemon like Alolan Exeggutor, where like it wouldn't be our first choice, but some people would
function.
Yeah. Yeah.
It has.
I don't want to do that to you. I also will run that with the caveat of we might not actually make videos with those Pokemon either, but
Mike's going to be like, hey, Kevin, have you heard of Solrock?
Hey,
I heard it's really good at.
You want to try a Lunatone? No. I will not do that to you. Don't worry, bud. Maybe I'll toss in a Miltank. I don't know. Maybe an Appleton might join the roster. I don't know. We'll see. That's up for the crowd to decide.
What's the least most used Pokemon that's still used in VGC right now? Let's see. The least used that still has usage. Like a 0.01 percenter.
A 0.01 percenter? There are tons of 0.1 percenters. People are still using Pikachu like that. People are still using Azumarill like that. People are still using
Runerigus. Sea King.
Duraludon has fallen to 0.09% usage.
Ivysaur. What's the point? Just run Venusaur. They're the same Pokemon. Dunsparce.
What are... Hold on. I'm stopping this. Why are people running Ivysaur?
You can't see it.
You can't see it.
It's so little usage that doesn't exist. It would take too much bandwidth for Griffin. It's not worth it.
I guess they only started at 0.02. Yeah, that's true. No, there's some 0.01s that show it.
Yeah, like Trapinch still has something. Protect, yeah. Faint, Earthquake, and First Impression. Spicy. Arena Trap.
Yikes.
Rotom Frost.
Mm-hmm.
Gotharita, I get it. Because people just run on the same team as Gothitelle and then go Paris Trap with Shedinja on their team. Just be like, ha! Ah!
Mm-hmm.
Sucker!
So here's the thing. We'll finish the podcast, but real quick, Quark Creates TCG gave us a team suggestion where, you know, we'll see how that goes. Team suggestion of Eternatus, Amoongus, Corviknight, Torkoal, Indeedee, and Urshifu Rapid. So in my professional opinion, I think Eternatus is seeing a lot of play right now. I think that Corviknight has not. I think Corviknight is kind of being outclassed at the moment, and I'm not sure by what. Why is Corviknight not seeing? Celesteela, that's it. Yeah. That's it. Which you can bring with that team. It is not a restricted, so you can bring that. Urshifu Rapid is really good. Torkoal, I'm not sure I see the need for Torkoal.
The only issue I have with that team is that it looks like it wants to be Trick Room, but it's not, because you have some slow mons like Torkoal, Corviknight, and Amoongus. Mm-hmm. So maybe just stick a setter in there, and then you should be kind of golden, because you already have two redirectors. Might as well run Trick Room.
So I would even swap out the Corviknight for that, because Corviknight's such a setup-y. Yeah,
take out. I was gonna say take out Corviknight, put in a Stacka, but then you have a big ground weakness. So maybe don't do that.
Put in a Stacka with an air balloon. Have you ever thought about that though?
Yo, someone needs to teach Mike what fake out does.
You got a ground weakness, toss an air balloon on it. I don't care what happens after the game starts. It's all about that weakness calculator, baby.
Let me introduce you to my friend called Incineroar Rillaboom Yenshao. They're very here you go.
And then just take out the Indeedee and put in a Serena. And you know what? Fake out? What fake out?
Kind of same thing, yeah.
You know?
My issue with Serena is that it misses every move it attempts. Problem with Serena is that its coverage is like so good but so bad at the same time. It's like, yeah, you got coverage moves.
It's coverage.
You ain't hitting all the time.
Yeah, its coverage is great if you never miss. But who's got the time? Nobody's got the time.
Like, what do you have? You have Power Whip, Triple Axle, High Jump Kick.
Oh, Unpheasant is a fun one to put on the pole. Okay. As we run out the clock here, people in the chat, please do drop your suggestions for unpopular but still might be viable Pokemon in the chat, and I'll write those down and poll for this week. Until then, I want to thank everybody for listening to Poke Sports this week. It's been a fun one. The next couple of weeks, I mean, we're all kind of waiting patiently for Brilliant Diamond, Shining Pearl. You guys are not the only ones. We are here with you. If you're looking for some stuff to do until then, there's still lots of stuff going on, at least on our side. You can head on over to Twitch at twitch.tv/pokesports, where Kevin and I stream. Kevin has been streaming VGC, a little bit of Unite as well. I've been streaming Unite. And we're going to continue to do that for the next little bit. Of course, we still put out videos on youtube.com/pokesports, where you can still see some VGC battles. You can keep up with us on Twitter at pokesportspod, or on Instagram at pokesportspodcast. And then lastly, we have the Patreon, where every month we go through our competitive PokeSports League, which is just about to finish taking signups. So, I mean, that's going to be a good time as well. You can also get access to our second podcast, the PokeSports Post Game, the Peege, where we just kind of chat. It's Kevin and I's time to unwind and just get to know each other. So if you want to join that, that's patreon.com/PokeSportsPodcast. I want to thank this, the splendid people from that already, people such as Matthew H, Corey, Carlo H, Scott D, King Boo, Martine, Ahmed, Greg T, Make It Totter, Mod Pierre, excuse me, Ryan G, Ryan W, Sowen. Such fantastic people. I want to also thank our mods again, Mod Pierre, Mod Tofu, and Mod Lupus. You guys make this amazing. PokeSports.org should be complete this week, so it'll be a fun time. Kevin, you got anything to say?
We posted on TikTok. Check that out.
Woo!
Search for PokeSports. You'll find it.
It's there. If you are a person who likes to turn videos into TikToks, please reach out. We are looking. We're looking for people who can help us.
Not desperate need, but we're lazy. We can do it, but we would rather have you do it. Please help.
Ooh, I hate that. All right. Bye, everybody. Have a good week.